Happening.
That's where Mike is right now. He's recording. His mic's out tomorrow, Mikey B. So he is recording the Picks with Coop segment as we speak.
Well, now that he's not here, let's talk about how we really feel about him.
You know, I've never hid any feelings about Mike in any way. I've been totally open about what he does, how he works, everything.
Pros, cons.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Stay out.
Strengths, weaknesses, pluses, minuses,
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, he knows. He knows.
What's he good at?
Well, he's got... See, that's an interesting question because...
Not really. It's a pretty simple one. What's he good at?
He's good at all the things he used to not be good at.
So he takes criticism well.
Yeah. When we first started, he was horribly unorganized.
Mm-hmm.
He was devoid of ideas that made sense for our show.
Mm-hmm.
He did not think along the lines guest-wise that we liked.
Okay.
And he was nervous and unsure of himself. So now, all of those things that he was, he has reversed. So that's why when I say, you know, what's he good at? Now my answer would be everything because of where he came from. So now he's good. There's not a thing now that I have an issue with Mike. Like, he's grown in every area that we've asked him.
And for a guy in his late 30s, he's showing you, you know.
Right.
He could change his spots.
Yeah.
It's good.
It is good. Yeah. So now he's far more relaxed. He still has his moments,
okay,
certainly. But he's far more relaxed and confident, and totally organized, and someone that I trust to put me in the best position to do the best show I can. Where at
Amen.
First, yes, and he sings prayers. But at first, it was he'd make my life a lot harder because.
Weren't on the same page.
Right. So I feel like I had to do double the amount of stuff to make up for his.
You'd almost have to spend more time correcting his mistakes.
Yes. And now, complete 180. Puts me in a great situation to succeed every day. Makes my life so much easier. Really proud of his progression.
What are you doing here in this building?
And also, the fact that he has been bullied by Brian for 3 straight years. I mean, without a doubt.
Beaten down.
Yeah, both literally and figuratively.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been able...
Kept on ticking.
Right. Showed up every day. Not a lot of complaints.
I know it's you, my would be calling me this early morning.
Yeah, and just powered through that. The fact that he was able to do that impressed me.
Now, what's the weakness now, big head?
No. No, not at all. No,
full of himself now?
No, there isn't. There is no weakness right now. The thing that I could see.
Oh, hey, come on. We all can get better at things.
Right. But I'm honestly, for what I need him to do, there's not a weak. There's nothing I don't trust him with. There's not a thing. I tell you. Yeah. I told you about how terrible he was in the beginning. I'm honest about it. And he knows that, and I told him that.
It's perfection!
I guess the only thing now that I would be concerned about is like, what is he going to be as this time slot progresses? And, you know, will he... It's a whole... Like, he finally got comfortable with us and what we needed and how to deal with that. Now he's got a whole set of different demands from people that want different things. Will he regress back to where he was... Yeah. In the beginning with us, or has the things that he's learned with us prepared him in a sense where it's going to be a seamless transition? That would be my assessment of that. Is that fair?
Well, the best coaches are guys who don't just stick to a system. When they get new players, the system evolves to fit the strengths of the players they have.
Right.
So now it's important that Mike can separate what worked for you.
Mm-hmm.
And not try to impose those things on the new hosts. He's got to do that.
Yeah, of course.
That's big for him now.
I think he will.
He can't say, this is how Greg liked it.
No, he won't.
Therefore, we're going to do it.
He will not.
Why the are you here?
He won't do that. He won't do that. But he's got to understand the things that I like to talk about, my ideas, those things. Like, he's going to have to completely change his mentality with that. Because he got in a great groove with this. Like, he'd suggest things that he knew was in my wheelhouse. And in the beginning, it wasn't that at all. It was a bunch of stuff that he didn't know me well enough yet, and it took a while for him to get that. So that's all. And we use him a lot now too. Like he talks a lot. He does the coop thing. We have him interview certain people at the Super Bowl. He did a ton of work for us. So I hope that if he doesn't do as much of that on the next show, that he doesn't get frustrated.
Okay. Because I thought he was maybe going to throw his head into the ring.
For what?
Well, remember when you left, for people who don't know, when we worked together in Pittsburgh and you left, remember there was a producer who said, well, if you know, Greg's not here, if there's someone who can do the show, it's me.
Oh, I'm that's there, right. You know,
I'm there every day. I know what he likes.
Yeah,
I know what the listeners like.
That person,
power move.
Right. It was crazy. It's a crazy
thing. So I was thinking maybe Mike thought, hey, if Greg isn't going to be here, next best thing, me.
No.
Didn't think that?
No, he doesn't think that. He's way more realistic about himself. But he does want to do this show with me on the 28th. He does want to do that show. He desperately wants to get that out
As
there.
A co-host.
Yeah. And I've been lobbying for it. But Eric,
lobbying who?
Eric Spitz. I've been asking him.
The boss?
About, yeah. I've been asking
Saying
him about
give him a shot?
Yes.
And how's that going?
Not well. Not well at all.
Eric Spitz.
Not well at all. And I think it'd be great. I think there's a couple
now,
of reasons.
Now, see, I don't get that because why does DA's producer get a shot?
Well, he's a little bit more talented. But that's the answer why he is. You know, and not to say Mike doesn't have the talent to do it. I think he'd do a fine job, but Sean Marash is more talented.
Do you think the Coop interviews are helping him along that path? Do you think what he's out doing right now is...
Yeah, I do, but he's also doing a little more shtick with that. Like, he's not... The mic that you're getting in the Coop interviews, you would not get in that chair that you're sitting in now. You know, it's more shtick. And he knows what's good about what he does with Coop is he knows how to lay out. Like he knows it's not about him in those interviews. And he's
got to get Coop's personality.
Right.
And
he does a good job of that. Like hitting the right buttons and doing that. So I think it would be great for him because listen, he's probably not gonna get shows like Marash is getting shows now because he's getting a bunch of overnight shows. I don't think Mike wants it. I think Mike he would love to have something on a reel to be able to have people listen to. And I also think that it'd be a nice way to end our time together, to share that moment on the air, I think. And I kind of want it because he went through a lot 3 years. You know, I'm a demanding guy, and Brian is a, you know, can be...
Cantankerous?
Tough. Yeah. You know, and he didn't always do the...
The what?
The nicest. He didn't always treat Mike the nicest.
Yeah.
And I think Brian admits that. I don't think I'm talking out of school.
No, I think you're 100% right.
Yeah. So I it was almost be like a reward for him putting up with a lot of that crap.
He deserves it. I think he deserves it.
And I'm not saying deserves it as like a. It's a
you
holiday.
You don't mean like pity him, like, oh, let's take charity here for
no,
like a
no,
charity
I just
case.
Think that
no,
he's,
you don't mean
he's,
that.
He's something he really wants to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here. I'll be still driving the show.
Now, has he been a big advocate of Mike the same way you have?
No.
No.
No, not at all.
Well, maybe that's what he needs. Maybe he needs Brian to also get in Eric Spitz's office and say, hey, buddy.
Well, now with Brian leaving, I don't think he's got any sort of juice whatsoever. No. Yeah. I think that now, like if Brian were to have been staying in this time slot, you know, and he said, hey, listen, give him a shot here.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
This day that I'm off, then maybe that would work. But, you know, not so much anymore. So we'll see. I'll see what happens. I still don't have a host for that day. So maybe there's a chance. Maybe there's a chance. But it's probably unlikely. All right. So let's get to this Rob Manfred deal. So Dan Lebatard, who is a South Florida guy, on his radio show yesterday, put Rob Manfred's feet to the fire. And, of course, we can't play any of this audio because they're ESPN and we're CBS Sports Radio. But he put Rob Manfred's feet to the fire about his involvement and what he knew with this Jeter and others ownership group, what their plans were to do with the payroll and the roster when they approved this sale. And basically the most important part of this interview was Dan Lebatard saying, did you know that they were going to slash payroll and trade players when you approved this? And Manfred kept saying over and over again that, no, we don't approve anything to do with roster decisions. I didn't know what their plan was to do. And he said, you're basically lying to me. And there are articles in the South Florida newspapers, I believe the Miami Herald this morning, that details how the plan that was put in front of the commissioner said, we are slashing the payroll from, I believe, 115 down to 80-something.
Mm-hmm.
And any normal person who has got a brain that can deduce these things would say, okay, let's look at this roster. How are they going to do that in a year? They're going to have to trade this guy, that guy, and that guy, especially Giancarlo Stanton. So Manfred's hiding behind this. I didn't know they were going to do this, but he did know that they were going to do this. So that's basically the back and forth and why it became very, very, it was compelling.
So whose side are you on here?
If Manfred...
Are you on Levitard's side or on Manfred's side in this interview?
If
you're thinking about it. Why are you thinking about it?
I'm thinking about it because, well, definitely Levitard's side the way that it worked out, without a doubt. But if Manfred... Because you heard my opinion on this Marlins thing before. Like, I think the freaking out of it is over the top mm-hmm. for me. But if Manfred had told the truth and said, yeah, we knew that they were going to slash payroll, and he did get to the point of, like, the Astros did it a certain way, the Cubs did it a certain way.
Yeah.
Like, he got to that point. If he would have led with that, it would have been like, yeah, we knew, and we looked at these teams that went and won championships that tore it down, and we believe that the Marlins, with the smart people that they put in place, yeah, they were going to trade some of the guys they had now, but they were going in that same route, and we were totally okay with that, then I would have been on Manfred's side. So I don't think it's as big of a deal what's going on in South Florida as Dan Le Batard does, but I'm also not someone who's lived there and worked there and, you know, knows the pulse of that area. But the way that Manfred was dodging those questions when it seems like he was aware more than he was letting on, that bothered me yesterday.
I'm on Manfred's side here, big time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what you think that, but don't you think he was lying yesterday about this? A little bit? Was not being totally honest?
I think that it's self-evident that this team, in order to have the purchase go through, was going to need to show Major League Baseball that financially they could get themselves out of this, you know, hole they're in. So when he gets asked questions about their plans, I don't think he's lying when he says, look, they didn't say to us, we're going to trade Ozuna, Gordon, Stanton,
right,
player Z, I mean, whoever we get to next, I don't think they're done. So I think if you're going to ask him the question that way, he's not being disingenuous if he says, when a purchase is made, we don't ask the team to tell us who they're keeping and who they're trading, who they're signing, who they're letting. To me, if he sticks to those guns, I think he's fine in this interview. So what did Le Batard want out of this?
He wanted
him to say, yep, we knew that they were burning it down. That was part of the deal. We weren't going to let the sale go through unless they told us, yep, Stanton's $250 million contract, it's out of here. That's what Le Batard was going for. He wanted him to say, we're screwing over the fans of Miami.
Right.
That's what he wanted.
Well, what he wanted was he wanted to be the voice of that area to take on the big commissioner and say, we're not going to take this. I think that was a bigger...
You're right, but that's why I'm not picking his side here.
Yeah, I also think that... There's only one way.
He wanted the, yeah, way to go, Dan.
Right, he did.
After the suit.
And he got it, though. He got exactly that. I think that most people ended up coming out of this saying that Manfred didn't come across very well, and you could tell, you could hear it in his voice.
I've been in that spot with Manfred before. I was in that spot with him last season.
With the Pirates?
Yeah. We had him on after that Little League game.
Mm-hmm.
And he was under the impression that it was going to be a fluff interview. Like, hey, you guys had this great event. It was so cool. The kids loved it. And right. It was contentious.
And were like, how do you let the Pirates operate?
Yeah.
And he was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What the hell are you talking about? But there's only one way. This is the problem I have with Manfred. This whole idea of that he didn't know that these players were going to get traded. How do you pare down payroll other than trading your most high-priced players?
He knew one thing, whether it was explicitly, directly stated or not. He knew that Jeter's group was going to trade Stanton. He knew that.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the ancillary or complementary trades that have been made, maybe those, you know, detailed, you know, order of things, this is how we're going to do it, maybe that wasn't important enough to get, you know, verbalized communicated to one. You're an idiot if you didn't think Stanton was going to go.
Well, then why didn't he say that yesterday? That's what I don't understand.
Because I don't think commissioners get in the business of saying, you know, getting into personnel moves specifically.
Okay, but once again, it's when you know that they're going to have to trade away that guy, and you know that, why can't you say it that way? Go, right, of course we're not sitting there saying that we know that Giancarlo Stanton's going to go to the Yankees, but obviously when we saw this business plan and we took a look at their payroll, we knew that some guys would probably have to leave the Marlins for them to achieve their goals. Yes, I did know that. What is, you know, so then the follow-up question is, why would you allow this, I guess, is the follow-up question, and then he probably didn't have a good enough answer for that. Right.
Well, so, okay, getting back to the motive behind this from the interviewer's perspective, he wants to get put over as the guy that, like, challenged the commissioner of the sport. And was he also looking for some kind of statement from Manfred that made it look like he could have or should have stepped in and done what was best for baseball?
Yes.
And said, you can't make this trade.
Right. So the next question, why did you allow this ownership group to come in? Why didn't you find a more financially responsible and more prepared group to be able to come in and keep this thing on track? Why did you choose this group that would have to lower payroll immediately to be able to pay off their debts?
It is bad for baseball that an MVP gets traded and it's a salary dump. That it's not a fair trade.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad look for baseball. But at the same time, if this is the economic structure of the sport where there is no salary cap, when you have a team that won 77 games and was 28th in attendance, you can't have a $30 million a year player on your roster.
Yeah. Oh, that's
the point.
Right.
If the Marlins, let me ask you this question: if the Marlins had only traded Stanton, there's no Ozuna trade. There's no Gordon trade. They keep the rest of the roster. They only get rid of Stanton to the Yankees. Is there still this kind of backlash?
Not quite as much. There would be backlash because it's coupled with Jeter coming in and getting rid of fan favorites. The stories you hear about McKean's role going away and Conine and some of the things that they did that were emotional moves for the Marlins fans. So it would be backlash, but clearly not as much. Because it was one and then another and then another, and it was like, all right, we've gone through this before, this fire sale stuff. So I don't, like I mentioned, I don't think it's that bad of a plan. When you buy a team, you want to make money. That's what they're doing. They overpaid for this. You had to see some of this coming. What I'm saying, though, from yesterday is that Rob Manfred needed to be more honest in that situation. And I don't think him being honest would have done that much damage to Major League Baseball. Honestly, I think he did more damage by coming out and taking the stance that he did, especially with the subsequent reporting that went on that said he damn well did know exactly what mm-hmm. was going on.
Okay.
So just be a little more. You think Adam Silver would have? And Adam Silver in that same situation, who I absolutely love. I think Adam Silver is forward thinking. I love the fact that he's all about gambling and working that.
No, that's the first thing you say about
but him. But seriously, the fact that he is
progressive.
Yes, with the daily fantasy sports stuff. Like, everybody's doing it. Like, let's be a part of it.
Yeah.
I think that that's great.
A piece of the pie. I think that's smart.
It's really smart. It's anti what the NFL's doing. Do you think Adam Silver in that same situation would have skirted around those questions yesterday in the way that Rob Manfred did? Because I think he would have handled it head on and said, this is the deal.
No, you're probably right. I don't think Goodell takes the interview, and
no.
I think Bettman probably makes himself look like a buffoon in that spot,
right.
too.
Right, yeah, right.
Did he get asked, I haven't seen quotes, did he get asked if he felt like there was some inside trading between the Yankees and Marlins on that deal?
That, to me,
is an obvious question. Even though you know you're probably not going to get the answer that you wanted, if you're going to conduct this interview as, look at me, I'm the man of the people, I think that question has to get asked.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. The 5.5-minute stretch that I saw was basically the back and forth of did you know this was going to happen. I did not hear if that question was asked, but I agree, without a doubt. I mean, it feels bad. It feels wrong and
the ex-Yankee
dirty.
Goes and trades him.
Right.
To that.
I mean, it feels dirty. There's no doubt about it.
Did you get the sense in that interview at any point that Manfred was going to hang up the phone?
Yes. Very early on when he started, because he said something along the lines of, you know, if we were going to do it this way and I'm going to be deposed, then we can go our separate ways and we can, you know, but I'm going to answer the questions the way I want to. So I thought that he was on a track for that. But also, this is the easy answer to get out of the insider trading thing, is the no trade clause and Giancarlo Stanton's ability to reject certain deals, because he turned down a deal with the Giants. So that's the easy way out for Manfred in that discussion. Be like, well, the first deal was agreed upon was not the Yankees and Stanton. So that's probably, if that did happen, that's probably the way it went. All right, coming up next, you got some calls for us? Well, get on the line. If you don't, we'll keep talking about other stuff. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Bogus update. And what NBA player is facing jail time for tweeting?
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Did you know salting and clearing winter roads reduces accidents up to 85%? Guess it's true what they say. Everything's better with a little salt. Visit alittlesalt.org.
I love salt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
huge fan of it.
I can't
in
say
all
enough.
Forms.
Yeah, enough good things about it, really. I mean, think about what makes
melts
your,
ice.
Yeah, and makes your food taste better. There's really not.
That's a versatile.
Does anything else do that in
element.
That same realm? No. So what else can melt, can make it safer for you to drive?
Yeah.
And also makes your meals taste better.
Yeah, take that, pepper.
Seriously. Pepper's got to be pissed. Salt's getting this much attention.
It doesn't have another application.
There's heat, too. Heat. Melts ice and makes food taste better.
Yeah, but that's not like a specific thing.
You
like
can't
salt.
Buy heat.
See, that's what
right.
Mike's.
In a
see,
bag.
That's what Mike's going right. to bring as a co-host. He's going to chime in with. I'm serious.
With stuff like that,
yeah.
I don't think that was a great take though. There about how heat.
I disagreed. I liked it, Mike.
Oh, wonderful! Thank you.
And also, heat does not make your food taste better. It makes it warmer,
which makes it taste better.
Sometimes.
Most times, now, you can oversalt your steak. It doesn't taste as good.
I feel like Bogus might know the answer to this because he just has a bookish look about him. Didn't
Thank
they just
you.
Like, before refrigeration, salt was the key, right?
To keep things.
Yeah, preservation. You salted stuff, yeah.
Cured meats.
Yep. Can't do that with pepper.
No, you really can't. This is why you got to go to alittlesalt.org. Do they have those fun facts, salt fun facts on alittlesalt.org?
Or anti-pepper facts?
Yeah. Left and right Twix.
Yeah, the pepper lobbyist right now who's hearing this is fuming.
See, I told you. This is the type of disrespect we're getting nationwide.
Yeah, there's 74 pros under salt. There's three quality bullet points for pepper.
There's some guy who's dumping pepper on his front stoop somewhere to see if it melts the ice. Going, damn it!
Do something.
Why not? Why? I should have taken that job with ketchup.
I always thought they should have made a movie about that.
What?
The Mayflower.
What are you talking about?
Well,
now?
We're getting back to the salted meats thing.
Okay.
Wow, that was a Brian reference.
Yeah, I know. That was an odd. What do you mean about that? The Mayflower? Who brought up the Mayflower?
What do you mean?
Well, where did that come from?
Well, I made a point that salt was basically old school refrigeration.
Okay.
That. I always thought that was an obvious movie.
Salt?
The Mayflower Voyage.
Okay, all right. And it hasn't been done? I bet you it's been done.
Were they salting meats the entire time across?
I'm just saying there's something compelling about the Pilgrims.
Tom Hanks.
In great.
Do you disagree with that?
Salt Voyage.
If the Mayflower, that voyage.
How old is this snake?
That's the plot. They got to find land before they run out of salt.
Right. No, that's essentially what happened with the Mayflower.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I don't think they like had it on a map. Like we're landing at Plymouth Rock. I think it just kind of happened that way.
Captain, we're running out of salt. We must land this vessel somewhere. Oh, there will be no more.
I mean, really, when you think about it, it's not that different than Apollo 13.
Did something go wrong, desperately wrong?
On the Mayflower?
Yeah, before they did
scurvy.
It? Was it scurvy?
I don't know.
What went wrong? They were going to die out up in space. You know, they were stuck there.
Bogus just said it. Just like they were running out of fuel in space, they were running out of salt on the Mayflower, man.
And orange juice. They needed vitamin C and salt.
Mayflower. Oregon Trail, another one that could have been made into a movie. That's an obvious one.
See, there are so, like, first of all, there are an amazing amount of movies.
Right. These are obvious movies that should have been made by now.
No, but they have been made.
No, they...
Look, Mayflower, the Penguins, the Pilgrims. Anthony Hopkins and Richard Crenna, 1979.
How many stars? What's the Rotten Tomatoes approval rating?
Well, hold on. Let me give you... How about Desperate Crossing in 2006?
Stepping Back 2.
I must have missed
Mayflower.
That one.
The Mayflower.
Wait, what is this music? It sounds like snake charming music.
Yeah, it sounds like Avenue.
I thought it sounded better than it did.
How about Mouse on the Mayflower?
Kids movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
1968.
Man, you think you get that landmark historical event, you put Anthony Hopkins in that movie, it should be... I mean, that's a you Best Picture nominee right there.
Let me see. Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, they didn't have a critic tomato meter at the time for 79, but 80% of the users enjoyed Mayflower, the Pilgrim's Adventure with Anthony Hopkins.
The Oregon Trail came out in 1959.
Where were you?
Well, but they didn't have the special effects back then to really make it what it could be today.
It was cutting edge.
Dude, they're making they're rebooting Spider-Man every 2 years. You can't come out with another Oregon Trail movie?
You really see
that? I am so sick of these superhero movies.
Yeah, the Marvel stuff.
Yes!
Yeah, it's too
much. Let's use some real life stuff that went down.
Right, like salt shortage on the Mayflower. Because kids will be into that, right? Why don't you combine the two and have Spider-Man save the Pilgrims?
Salt Man.
Salt Man.
You know, this is why.
Why are you so dry?
The dumbing down of America is what we're talking about right now, really.
What do you mean? Now you have this, like, real serious take about...
Everybody... Star Wars, Spider-Man, comic books.
Yeah, right. It's what people want. It's entertainment.
The point is, education can be fun too, Greg.
Well, go and do something
about it. A Paul Revere movie. I'd get into that.
See,
what made him get on that horse?
I can't. I can't get into anything pre-car.
Chris Pratt, Paul Revere, boom, movie.
How about he broke up with his wife?
He's another guy that I've just had enough with.
Well, he's a big religious guy, right? He's like he's one of these guys. He puts crosses everywhere.
Really?
Have you seen this?
That doofy guy?
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's not. That's just the thing about him, is that ever since he went from like kind of your innocuous guy friend who was stuck in the friend zone, he like went from like 280 to like cut up 250, ripped.
Yeah.
Look at that, him and a huge cross.
Yeah, Chris Pratt erects giant cross on Easter.
Well, that would be a good day to do it, I guess. If you're going to do it, I guess do it on Easter.
Salt Man star pays homage to
Jesus. You're honestly not into any of these historical events?
Nah, can't stand it. Too boring for me.
I mean, you'd think with the success of Titanic.
Right.
That they'd look into making more movies about this kind of stuff.
But that was not like a technical how the thing sunk. It was about the love story. That's what it was. It wasn't about that. I mean, if you're going to tell me...
You're telling me you make a movie about the Oregon Trail, you can't put a real heavy romantic...
But that's not what you're saying. You want people to be educated on it.
You can do both.
Okay, did you learn a lot about the Titanic during that Titanic movie?
Well, I personally didn't. I knew the iceberg thing, but I'm sure there were plenty of people that didn't know.
That didn't know that the Titanic sunk? Or...
Okay, the people that did know that was going to be part of the plot of the movie, it didn't keep them from going.
No.
Lincoln, we know what happens at the end.
Yeah, I could.
Great movie!
I didn't watch it. Didn't watch it.
You didn't see Lincoln?
Didn't see Lincoln.
Bogus, did you like Lincoln?
Saw Lincoln and loved it.
You loved it.
Come on,
you'd be okay without a car. I promise.
Anything pre-car, I can't do. I feel like time didn't exist. Yeah. Anything pre-car.
So what kind of movies do you like? You don't like comic book movies. You don't like historical movies. What do you like?
I love real-life tales about people from like the 50s on. That's what I like.
I like real life tales
about like things that are like real life.
I
do, man. Real life tales is where I'm going.
Are you sure you do?
Yep.
Doesn't sound very convincing.
Real life tales. Like, for example, one of my favorite movies of all time, About Schmidt. You know this story?
No, never seen it.
Jack Nicholson in this movie where he's an insurance salesman in Omaha, and he retires, and his wife dies, and he's searching for purpose in his life, and he boards.
So you like movies about average Joes, just
right.
Your run-of-the-mill schmucks,
just like right, but like you know, and their journey through life that gives you a perspective on things. I like that type of stuff, and like you know, Casino. I love Casino. That's a great movie for me. That's an entertaining one, and I love documentaries. I'm a documentary file. Love documentaries.
If you like documentaries, why wouldn't you like movies that have a historical?
Because I'm not watching documentaries on buffaloes and the Oregon Trail, and I'm watching documentaries on what's going on now and what happened in the last 40, 50 years. That's what I watch documentaries on.
I didn't know that it was so time sensitive for you.
It is like that. Like this show, was it The Crown? Everybody watches The Crown. They love.
Person who watches.
Oh, I hear that all the time about The Crown.
Have you seen it, Bogus?
No, not.
It won a bunch of awards. The Crown, and I can't with queens and kings and crap like that. No, no, thank you. Give me a real life tale.
But that is real life
in the last 50 years.
But
it's not real life.
So Saving Private Ryan, it's pre-1950s. Screw it. I'm not interested. It's got to be 1950. A Vietnam movie, I'll do.
Yes.
World War II, Civil War, not so much.
I can't. It just doesn't feel like that ever existed to me. I can't get into it.
Because is that a car in the background of the drama?
I don't feel like...
That is so weird.
We're so far removed from that time.
Oh, JFK, I'll watch. Lincoln?
Well, time out. This is what it is. We're so far removed from that time, I don't think that we can get an accurate depiction of what happened then.
Oh, my.
Where you can in the 70s and 80s, people lived it. I don't know what that Civil War...
You should have said that in school when you were like in a history class. I don't buy this. This is not an accurate depiction. How do we know what happened?
Yeah.
At the Boston Tea Party, baloney, it never happened.
But I'm talking about like the details of it, fine. I'm talking about when you're making a movie. Like, how does a wardrobe person have any idea what the hell they're doing with this?
These are pictures.
Yeah, but...
paintings.
They're using the right material. You know, I don't know.
What about Back to the Future 3?
When they go all the way back in the covered wagon?
But there is a car to get there.
Hated it. Oh, wow. Hated it. Because once they
he'd make a good co-host. That was
once they went back to that western part of it, and the covered wagon stuff, I'm out. Wow. I'm out of that stuff.
Wow.
Saloons and the westerns.
Well, how about Jurassic Park? That's a tough one. Because that's prehistoric in modern times.
No, that's not tough for me. They drive around in a car in that thing. The T-Rex slams the car.
The car is the key.
Didn't you like Westworld, whatever that's called?
Yeah, but that's...
Isn't that in the Western?
Yeah, but that's a totally... That's a sci-fi thing, and they go back and forth so much. And it's people from today experiencing that time. And I think that was, like, next-level television. Mm. So that's a little bit of an outlier for me. But yes, I did like Westworld. I enjoyed that show. You see Westworld?
Yeah, I like it.
You did like it.
Graphic. Right.
Definitely. A lot of sex in that.
Yeah, more than this trip.
All right. What are we poking you through? We're really late for the update, but give it to us.
Does this
anyway.
Count for 7:30 or 8:30? Just for my accounting purposes.
Right?
Nor the Bucks, the Spurs, the Blazers, the Knicks, not the Lakers once before, could stop the Rockets' win streak, but coming back around, L.A. did the deed last night.
Kuzma, 30-footer. Good again! Kyle Kuzma is 8-for-8. He's 6-for-6 from three. He's got 22 first half points.
That's John Ireland on Lakers Radio. Kuzma finished with 38 on 7 threes. LA a 122-116 win in Houston, stopping the Rocket run at 14. Not even 51 points from James Harden mattered.
They came out, played a tough game. They're a young team, really talented, made some tough shots. And, it is what it is. Nothing else to say.
So we'll move on to the Warriors winning their 10th straight, 97-84 over the Grizzlies. Minnesota, 112-104 win in Denver. The latest injury for the LA Clippers is to Danilo Gallinari.
My glutes are shutting off.
Gallinari suffered a bruised left butt cheek. Further testing revealed a small muscle tear. He will be reevaluated in January. The Wofford Terriers with a 79-75 win at number 5 North Carolina last night. Roy Williams will punish his heels as soon as possible.
Thankfully, we got somebody that looks into the rules, because I told him I wanted to come back and practice at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. But we can't. You got to give them 8 hours off. That's the rule.
A young man named Fletcher McGee led Wofford with 27 points last night. Louisiana Tech crushed SMU 51-10 in the Frisco Bowl. The Cleveland Indians reportedly signing first baseman Yonder Alonso 2 years and $16 million, while the Mets give GM Sandy Alderson an extension for an unknown amount of years and dollars. And Nashville wins an MLS expansion franchise. Sacramento, Cincinnati, or Detroit will get one as well in the very near future. Guys?
Somebody sent me, Scott Metz on Twitter, at the Metzer, said, real life tale, huh? And then sent me a Google search that he seemed to do, the facts and theories of evolution, the vestigial human tail. And he did a little of like a real life tail on a human. And it's the creepiest picture I think I've ever seen. It's up there with the top 10 creepiest things I've ever seen. So your mind, Scott Metz, is a warped one, but I don't mind it. Good for you.
Would you see a movie about that?
A real life tale? Yeah, certainly.
You'd watch a documentary about it.
Yeah.
And then you'd book the host.
That what you would do.
Yeah. Right. Hey, a documentary just watched. 33 pills. Amazing. It was very, very depressing and deep, but take a look at that. That's my type of thing right there.
33 pills.
33 pills. Okay. Write that down. Watch that.
Hey.
And that's right, the type of stuff that I'm watching those things. You can have your Oregon Trail Mayflower movies. I'll be watching real life stuff.
I'll be watching real life tales.
We're coming right back.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Couple of things to tie a bow on our last segment, if I may. 32 pills, not 33 pills. So I made a mistake on that. I would suggest that documentary, 32 pills.
HBO.
HBO, not 33 pills. Also, a friend of ours and a listener, at least a friend of mine, I don't know if you're as friendly with him as I was, the great Rob in North Versailles, yep, at the Sports Judge on Twitter, said, yes, salt, a lot of things you can do with it. Don't forget, though, pepper spray can ward off criminals. Thought that was a genius take.
Ever get sprayed?
With pepper spray? No. I feel like you mace? Have at some point in your life. You
how
definitely
how
have.
How about mace?
No, nothing like that. No, I've never been in a situation like that. You definitely
no,
in,
I haven't.
In your history.
I know that's going to come as a huge surprise, but it's not happened to me.
Like, I don't know if Andrew comes across in these last couple of days to the listener as someone who would get himself into trouble a lot. But when he was younger, I mean, you would get yourself, you loved getting in fights. One of the first things you said to me,
mm-hmm,
in Pittsburgh was, I can't wait until somebody punches me in the face. I need someone to punch me in the face. I was like, what are you talking about? Apparently, at that point in your life,
it had happened a lot.
Yeah, you wanted to get punched in the face.
I don't know if I wanted to. I don't know if I. Well, I can. I just know this. Every time I've been punched in the face, in that moment, there's no like shot of adrenaline or rush of adrenaline where you want it to keep happening. Like, I'm not someone that gets like amped up.
Yeah.
Or goes out looking for fights. Maybe I said that because I felt like I was getting a little too big for my britches. I needed somebody to kind of bring me back down
face?
To earth. Yeah.
Wow.
It happens, man.
I never looked at you as someone who.
No,
would,
no, that's a humbling thing.
Getting punched in the face.
Like, I look at Baker Mayfield sometimes and think, man, I think you want to calm him down, have somebody just haul off and slug him.
Yeah.
He looks like a guy that's never been knocked out before. He acts like one. You don't see that?
Who are we talking about again? I'm sorry. I lost. I totally lost. Was in space.
Oh, you're
mode.
Brian Jones
I,
now?
Well, I wanted to. I'll tell you what I was doing. I was preparing for the Enes Kanter story.
Okay.
And in my head, trying to pronounce the Turkish dictator's name correctly, and I can never get it right.
You thought that was an important detail.
And it was, yes. Okay. And as I was looking that up, I was going in my head like Ergodin. I kept doing that, and then I didn't listen to what you said.
No, what I was saying is, if you had to make a bet, has Baker Mayfield been punched in the face before, yes or no?
Oh, without a doubt.
Oh, yes, I would say no, because I think he comes off as he's cocky enough where it almost acts like it's never happened.
No, he's definitely gotten punched in the face. There's no doubt about it. At some point in his life, he got a public intoxication in Fayetteville, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he's someone who does that as the Oklahoma quarterback. Has gotten punched in the face at some point. Remember when we almost fought that guy in Pittsburgh on East Carson Street? Remember that, me and you? What was that about? Why are we so angry?
He was urinating in a public place. And he, like, after he got done, he, like, put his hands on you or something.
Yeah, that's right. That's what happened.
And I just thought that was disgusting.
Yeah, that's what it was. And we both went up to him. We were going to...
I don't know. We were just kind of making like, oh! Like kind of like...
Yeah, but we followed him across the street and got in his face. That was probably not a good move.
No. No, it wasn't.
Because if we would have actually done something there, especially in that area where everything that happens ends up...
Somewhere.
Then that would have been really dumb. I'm glad we didn't do that.
Cooler heads prevailed.
Yeah, either that or we were just total wusses, like we weren't going to do it.
Yeah,
because I've never gotten into a fight like that.
You've never had someone ball up their hand into a fist and hit you in the face as hard as they could?
Nope.
Wow,
never happened.
I be honest. At this point in life for you, I don't think it's ever going to happen.
I hope not. You know, but you never.
I think you're past that stage. I think you made it through. It's like chicken pox. I think you missed that.
Probably.
There's an age for it. I think you're in the clear now.
Probably. I could see a road rage thing happening.
Gets out of their car and goes after you?
I could see that happening because I drive so much. I could see an instance where a honking or something got the wrong guy and then I'm just...
See, I would stay in my car and just lock the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't get out.
Well, there was an incident here with one of our bosses here, Mark Chernoff. He was honking at somebody. It was a couple years ago. You know,
I got out of the car and... Wanted to lay hands on him?
No, he did. Yeah, punched Mark in the face through the window.
I think the truck was parked where Mark was, and he wanted the truck to move. And
I'm not going to bring up the person's name, but you told me an unbelievable story about a guy in a parking lot. A fist went right through the driver's side window and like broke his glass.
Yes, yep. That's an amazing one. Yeah. Yep, that was a great one. But yeah, it was an incident here where I could see that same thing happening to me, where I'm honking, I'm angry, and then it's the wrong guy, and then the guy walks over, I roll the window down, and whap, I could see that happening. But unlikely. All right, we got to talk some Ezekiel Elliott. Scott Zolak's going to join us today. He was supposed to join us yesterday, and I don't know, had some sort of scheduling conflict, so he'll be joining us today. Ezekiel Elliott. Back, ready to go. What's that going to look like? Gio and Jones with Andrew Filipponi filling in on CBS Sports Radio.